A year after the Freedom Scientific merger of the Arkenstone product line, we learned from Jim Fruchterman what his new plans were with Bookshare.org.
Jim, it's always good to have you on Main Menu, and since we last spoke with you, which was over a year ago when the Arkenstone acquisition by Freedom Scientific was announced, a lot has happened, and I'd like to talk about Benetech in general at some point, but let's get to the good stuff first and talk about Bookshare.org. What is it? Tell us about what it is.
Bookshare.org is a copyright legal cross between Napster and the Talking Book program of the Library of Congress. And what we're doing is we're making it possible for people who have been scanning in books to share them with other people who have special needs, people with visual disabilities or learning disabilities, over the Internet. So the fact that one person has scanned that book means that another person could benefit and not have to scan that book again.
Now, when I spoke to you last year sometime about what we're going to do now that you're not going to make reading machines anymore, you did have this idea in the back of your head, and you used the term Bookster. I gather that wasn't a very good PR decision to use Bookster.
Oh, you know, I think it went over very well in the visually impaired field. People got it right away. But we decided we wanted to work with the publishers, and it was not a good name for a project that we would run by the publishers.
I guess you had two choices. You could have just taken your own legal advice and decided that the U.S. copyright law facilitated you doing this, or you could have worked with the publishers to kind of clear the air first, and I gather you took the latter course.
We definitely did. I mean, even though we didn't need to talk to the publishers, we felt it was important to cover what we were planning with them so that rather than objecting to this, they would support us. And I'm not sure that they're enthusiastic about the idea, but I think they acknowledge that it is permitted under U.S. law, and that as long as we spend some time thinking about issues that worry them and make some accommodations, they'll be happy to not sue us.
Now, you've obviously got to be reasonably confident that it's going to be next to impossible for people to give Bookshare.org books to other people. Is that right?
You know, impossible is not the objective. What we're trying to do is to make it reasonable in terms of ensuring that the content gets to the people that it should get to, people with disabilities, and doesn't get to other people. And so we all know that a person with a PC and a scanner can sit down and scan a book in 3 hours. So all we're trying to do is make it harder to get the books out of Bookshare than it is to scan it in yourselves, and if that's the case, then people won't be using us as a source for putting free books on the Internet, which is what the publishers are most worried about.
So in terms of the way that the blind user is going to be a part of this community, and of course a user with a print disability as well, they would scan their book, save it, and what, FTP it up to you? Is that how it will work?
Basically, they would come to our webpage and they would do a file transfer to us, and then we would turn it into something that's legally permitted under this U.S. copyright law exception. And what we've chosen to do is to redistribute the books in either the DAISY 3.0 format, the NISO DAISY format, or BRF, the electronic braille format.
So you will be providing an interface so that someone's not have to going to become familiar with an FTP client. They can just go to the web page, specify exactly where on their system the book is, and you'll take care of the transfer.
Precisely. We're trying to make it very easy to give us books. And the other thing that's interesting is we can take books from people who aren't qualified to be users. So, for instance, if sighted people want to scan in books or proofread them or, you know, write up synopses for them, they're welcome to do that, and you know, we have a volunteer agreement that we're putting the finishing touches on to allow people to help us that way. And that's getting a lot of excitement because it's a virtual volunteering opportunity. So you can live in a rural town and, you know, never have a chance to come near us, but you can help us out in our mission by volunteering over the Internet.
Accessing files in Adobe's Portable Document Format, or PDF, has been more of a cumbersome and hit-and-miss process for the blind than it is for the sighted. And specifically to talk about Adobe Acrobat Reader 5.0, I'm joined by Rick Brown from Adobe. Rick, let me start with you and get you to talk a little, if you could, about the reason for the change from an Access plugin to this MSAA-based integration that's Microsoft Active Accessibility. Tell me a bit about why you've done that.
Well, there were a couple of things going on there. One was that the plugin, which we have available or have had available for free from Adobe.com and which works with the Acrobat Reader for Windows, was technically based on a model that would take the content of PDF and then convert it into an interim format, namely sort of plain text, and then that text could be accessed by an assistive technology like WindowEyes from GW Micro. The sort of twist in that solution was that we had to do a conversion process. We had to convert PDF to text. And what we have today now is the ability to speak directly from Acrobat and the content in the PDF right to a screen reader. And then, of course, we don't have that interim step, and the results can be much better.
So what does that mean for blind people in terms of the quality of their access to Adobe files?
What that means is, number one, it's going to be a lot simpler to use Acrobat Reader with an assistive technology. They don't have to get an additional program. They don't have to do something different than everybody else. They just go, they get the free Acrobat Reader, they use it with their screen reader. It should just work. The other thing we've done is that we've provided tools in the Acrobat 5.0 product, which we announced on March 12th, that will also optimize the content for accessibility. So PDF is like many other formats available on the web, similar to HTML. When you create that content, you really, if you want someone who's blind to have the best experience with it, you need to, as the author, make sure you're sort of doing the right things. You have to author with the intent for accessibility. And we've provided several tools in Acrobat 5.0 that make it easier for you to do that so that people get that content in PDF. And as you know, in a PDF file, PDF has very arbitrary ideas of layout and graphics, and you could have text all over the page, and it's hard even for people who are sighted. Sometimes, you know, if you look at a complex document like a form, what is the logical reading order? How do you know what that is? And Acrobat 5.0 gives you features that enable you to encode through logical structure what the logical reading order is, and now we can expose that through the what we're supporting in Acrobat 5.0 to a screen reader like WindowEyes, and that means that someone who's blind can not only access the text, but they're getting it in the logical order the way the author intended.
Now, in an Adobe Acrobat PDF file, you often find that there's lots of hyperlinking going on, so you might see a table of contents, and a sighted person can jump quickly from the table of contents to the particular item that they're interested in. Can a blind person do that through this implementation?
Oh, yes. It's very similar to the way you would deal with links in a web browser.
Right. So you'd effectively be, if the MSAA model of the screen reader, such as WindowEyes, is implemented so that you tab between links on a web page, you'll effectively be tabbing between links on a PDF file.
Another thing we can expose is Acrobat has a concept of what are called bookmarks, which are not to be confused with, you know, the bookmarks you have in your web browser, but there's a separate panel that can have, the author can create a set of hyperlinks that sort of exist in a separate panel so that I can, through, you know, tabbing mechanisms, tab into that panel to get sort of an overview of the links in the file if they're created that way, and then I can browse through the links that way as well.